Excellent. Good morning, counsel. The next case on the court's calendar this morning is Progressive Preferred Insurance Company versus Christensen Electric Incorporated. We're having our hearing this morning on the Zoom platform. The rules are all the same in terms of timing and rebuttal argument. We do ask that you pay close attention to the timing mechanism, which now appears to be up in the left-hand corner of the screen, and also to attempts of the judges to interrupt you for questions. And please do state your names before you speak so we have a clear record of who was arguing at what point. And apologize for the brief delay. The last case went a little longer than expected. With that, we'll hear from counsel for Appellant Progressive.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Michelle Hurley. I'm here representing the appellant, Progressive Preferred Insurance Company. I'm here today asking the court to reverse the trial court and vacate the arbitration awards and remand them back to arbitration forums. The question before the court today is, can an arbitrator use specifications provided by a vehicle manufacturer to calculate a vehicle's nominal manufacturer's carrying capacity in the context of the definition of a pickup truck? Now, I know that some of you had to listen to me last week on this indemnification provision and all of these definitions. I apologize that we're going to run through some of that again. I just think it helps to set up the context of the question before the court today. So what's at issue is the indemnification provision in the No Fault Act. That's Minnesota Statute 65B53, Subdivision 1. It provides indemnity when the at-fault vehicle is a vehicle that's a commercial vehicle weighing in excess of 5,500 pounds. Those are two separate requirements. The first requirement of the 5,500 pound curb weight is pretty straightforward, pretty easy. You can figure out what that is. The commercial vehicle is the trickier piece, and the No Fault Act does take the time to define a commercial vehicle. It's in Minnesota Statute 65B43, Subdivision 12. And what that provides is for three different types of vehicles that are gonna be a commercial vehicle. First is your common carrier, which is gonna be like your semi-tractor trailer. The next is the vehicle used for the for hire transportation of property, something like a moving truck. The third category is a kind of a catch-all, and it's anything that is not a passenger vehicle. Now, the problem with that is that the No Fault Act doesn't actually define what a passenger vehicle is. So it refers to another statute, 168.002, Subdivision 24. That defines what a passenger vehicle is. So we go and we look at that statute, and what we see from that statute is it says that a pickup truck is included as a passenger vehicle if it meets the definition of a pickup truck, which is brings us to the definition of a pickup truck under subdivision 26. So that's what we're going to be looking at and focusing on today.
I feel like we're in Yogi Berra's reference to deja vu all over again.
I know. I'm going to try and skip over what we talked about last week, and we'll just pretend that it's just for another day.
No, I would not say so, because we're a different panel, and I would not make any assumptions about any positions you think may or may not apply from the previous issue and the other parties.
Well, then, Judge Ross, I will say this: it is our position, Progressive's position, that what the passenger vehicle statute says is that. A pickup truck is included as a passenger vehicle only if it meets the definition of subdivision 26. And what subdivision 26 says is that a pickup truck is any truck with the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity of 3/4 ton or less, commonly known as a pickup truck. So what does that mean exactly? What that means is that if it has a carrying capacity of less than 3/4 of a ton, it's a passenger vehicle. If it has a carrying capacity in excess of 3/4 of a ton, then it is not a passenger vehicle, and it is a commercial vehicle for purposes of the No Fault Act.
What if it's exactly 3/4 of a ton?
It says 3/4 of a ton or less.
Or less, okay.
So if it were exactly 3/4 of a ton, it would be a passenger vehicle. It would be a pickup truck. Yes, exactly.
Okay, so my question, is there such a thing? I mean, it's very specific language in this statute.
Yes.
The manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity. Is that a thing? And if so, where do we find the definition?
It is not. I want to say it's not a thing. that's not exactly the way that I would phrase it. It
is not. I know. I'm using appellate court legalese here, so
it's not defined. Is that what we're saying? That we have this phrase, and it sounds like I'm new to this issue,
yeah.
as opposed to my colleagues from last week. But I do have one of these things sitting in my driveway outside of my window, so I'm
okay.
Very curious whether our 3/4-ton monster that my husband drives is a passenger vehicle or not. That's the issue.
That is the issue. Yes, Your Honor.
And I know that, you know, colloquially, everybody up here is like, I got a 3/4-ton pickup. Are you saying, you know, what does that mean? Is that the issue here?
No, that's not actually what the issue is, Your Honor. That doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't actually mean the carrying capacity of the vehicle. It's just a colloquial term that they refer to these trucks as. It doesn't have anything to do with the carrying capacity. What the carrying capacity has to do with, I mean, carrying capacity is the vehicle's ability to carry something over and above itself, a weight over and above itself, right? So you have the curb weight of the vehicle, it has to be able to carry that. How much more can it carry than that? And how much more than it can carry than that is capped out at the gross vehicle weight rating. So if you have, let's say, a 10,000 pound gross vehicle weight rating, right? And you have a 5,000 curb weight truck, then it can carry an additional 5,000 pounds. You can put an additional 5,000 pounds on top of it, right? So that now it would weigh a total gross weight of 10,000 pounds. That's the most it can do. That's the most it can handle, okay? The problem is that the manufacturers don't actually put out data that says the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity is X. They don't actually say that. They say payload, which is the same thing, but they don't actually use that terminology.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you there for a minute.
Yes.
Where in the record is there anything that says payload is the same as nominal rated carrying capacity? And is there anything, I guess, is my question.
There's not anything that says that. What it says is that payload is the same concept as carrying capacity.
And where does it say that? Because you've got, there's stuff in the record about payload, and you put some, you know, I can't remember which, was cars.com or How Stuff Works or what, but that's in the record, and
right.
It talks about payload. But then is there anything that tells me that payload is the same as nominal rated carrying capacity?
No, there's not going to be anything out there that says that those two numbers are the same. What you're going to have is, what does payload mean? What does carrying capacity mean? Both of those things mean the same thing.
Well,
and so
but,
in that,
but
they're both
don't you need something in the record telling me that besides you telling me that? I mean, ordinarily, if this, and I know these are very abbreviated proceedings, which is part of what makes it so difficult
right.
for both of you as well as us on the court.
Sure.
But ordinarily, you might like have an expert witness who knows something about the you know, the pickup truck industry saying, yes, the, you know, nominal rated carrying capacity is the same as payload. But
sure.
But we don't have that here, right?
We don't have that here, Your Honor. And we are not making the argument that the arbitrator can use payload instead of the manufacturer's nominal rating carrying capacity. We're not making that argument here. We're not saying that, I'm saying for practical purposes, they are the same, but that's the only thing that I know a manufacturer puts out. But we're not saying that that okay. should be substituted in this case. What we're saying is that the arbitrator can calculate out what the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity is by using specifications that are provided by the manufacturer.
But doesn't the arbitrator then have to know that that calculation, the, you know, payload plus curb weight equals nominal rated carrying capacity? Doesn't something have to tell the arbitrator that, or is that you're saying just common sense tells us that?
Well, no, if we look at what is the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity, right? This is what the manufacturer tells us this vehicle can carry after it carries itself. That's what that information is. And so—
No, you're, well, okay. I think we're arguing around in circles, because what you're saying they tell us is payload. So if we don't know what nominal rated carrying capacity is, And I understand now, which I did not understand 2 weeks ago, that 3/4 ton pickup, that you know, that they may be able to carry a lot more than that, or sometimes less than that, no matter, you know, it all depends on a whole bunch of things. So how do we figure this out? I mean, there is a phrase, so why shouldn't we just default to the gross vehicle weight, which is what that's what the arbitrator did here, right? He's saying, you didn't tell me what the nominal rated carrying capacity is. You told me what payload, you told me there could be a way to calculate this, but you didn't additionally provide me with any evidence saying that your calculation is nominal rated carrying capacity. So therefore, I'm just going to default to the gross vehicle weight. So why is that a problem?
I think, Your Honor, the reason that it's a problem is because it ignores this portion of the statute that says or cannot be determined. And the question really becomes is, what does it mean by or cannot be determined? That is, can't be the same thing as being provided, because there's two different options that the legislature is providing there. They're providing it being provided to you from the manufacturer, and there's being determined from information provided by the manufacturer. And I guess that's the portion of it that we're relying upon. It's a simple mathematical calculation. We never gave the payload information from the manufacturer to the arbitrator in this case. We said, you have the manufacturer's carrying, you have the manufacturer's curb weight, you have the manufacturer's gross vehicle weight rating. Under the statute, you are allowed to determine, based on that information, what the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity is. And you can't make those two things mean the same thing. It says determined for a reason. And for us, that means they can calculate it if you have the manufacturer's. Now, Christensen is focusing on this word nominal. Okay, what does the word nominal mean? You can't ignore the meaning of the word nominal. And what they're trying to argue is that what we're providing is actual. We're not providing nominal, we're providing actual. That's not true. The actual would be weighing this particular vehicle and finding out what the curb weight of it is, which can vary greatly from vehicle to vehicle. It's not necessarily the same as what the manufacturer has said the carrying capacity or the curb weight is. And that will render a different carrying capacity based upon that. And so we're not providing the actual, we are providing the nominal. What the manufacturer does when they give us the curb weights is they're giving us generally, this is for this type of vehicle, with this style, this body, this is what it is.
Just so we're clear, by nominal, you're referring to that which is named, literally.
Correct. Yes, Your Honor. And so we are going off of what the manufacturer is providing. That's the manufacturer's nominal. That's their information. It's not specific to this particular vehicle that is here right in front of us. We have not weighed this vehicle. So we do think that, you know, we're following the letter of what is in here, and that we're providing the manufacturer specifications in order to make that determination. And it's only when you can't make that determination, which I would believe is if the manufacturer hasn't provided you with that information, one of those two pieces to be able to do the calculation, that then you have to look at what is the gross vehicle weight rating of this vehicle. Is it in excess of 10,000 pounds or not? I just don't think that you can ignore that portion of the statute. And when you are talking about this vehicle, I mean, it's turning a blind eye essentially to the fact that this vehicle has a carrying capacity of almost 2 tons. This would actually meet the definition of a 1-ton pickup truck because its carrying capacity is so great. It's so large. And I think that, you know, when we talk about the legislative intent, I know that Christensen went on a bit about the legislative intent. There were a couple of flaws in what they were saying, and it's essentially ignoring this mathematical equation, saying, well, okay, we have this truck. It's the same as, you know, truck A and truck B are the same, but truck A, we have something from the manufacturer saying that its carrying capacity is X, right? And truck B, we don't have that, but we know when we do those calculations, it has a carrying capacity in excess of 3/4 a ton. Both of those trucks are the same for that purpose. How could the legislative intent be to include one, but not the other when they're the same truck? And so, I think it's more than just that, though. It's the fact that what you have to recognize is that the statute is not in the No Fault Act. right? So the legislative intent behind the statute has to do with vehicle registration and taxation. It has to do with whether or not the vehicle is classified as a passenger vehicle for purposes of taxes. So the larger vehicles get taxed at a higher rate that are not passenger vehicles. That's the legislative intent about it. And there's nothing here that is contrary in our reading to that. In fact, they want you to know how big is this vehicle? How much is their carrying capacity? Because they're going to be taxed accordingly. But if you look at the No Fault Act, the history of the No Fault Act and when it was enacted, we've got a good 20 years where any pickup truck, it doesn't matter what the carrying capacity is, any pickup truck that weighed in excess of 5,500 pounds was a commercial vehicle, ripe for indemnity, because any pickup truck was not a passenger vehicle and therefore a commercial vehicle. Because the statute used to read for taxation purposes only are pickup trucks included. And so for 20 years, we had it where any pickup truck would be a commercial vehicle as long, and it would meet the indemnification statute as long as it weighed in excess of 5,500 pounds.
Judge Larkin, I'm sorry, but it looks like you're out of time, but can I ask a quick question just for Ms. Yes. Hurley to consider during her rebuttal time, not to answer now. So, okay. So going back to your prior, so if we were to agree with you, you're saying that you win because this goes back to last week's argument that if a pickup truck does not fit within the definition of subdivision 26, then it's not a passenger automobile under subdivision 24, correct? But the section that talks about C, subdivision 24C, talks about passenger automobile includes, but it is not limited to, pickup truck as defined in 26. But then it goes on to say neighborhood electric vehicles as defined in, I think it's the traffic laws in chapter 169, and a medium speed electric vehicle. And so if we were to read that section the way you do, what do we do with a full size electric vehicle sedan? Is that not a passenger vehicle? Don't answer that now, but during your rebuttal, I'm interested in your argument.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, counsel, would you introduce yourself for your rebuttal argument, or I'm sorry, for your responsive argument?
Yes, Your Honor. Rachel Beauchamp, present on behalf of respondent Christensen Electric. Today, my client is asking you to do one of two things. First, you can affirm the district court and the arbitrator's decisions on the narrow ground they were issued, which is the fact that there was no evidence introduced of the nominal rated carrying capacity of this vehicle. I mean, that's been admitted at every level now. In fact, the argument, which you find in the record from the arbitration forum's decision, never said nominal rated carrying capacity. It simply said carrying capacity. So they had no evidence, and that was the decision they issued. That's the first easy thing you could do. That's what the district court did. They affirmed the finding of fact that there was a failure to provide the quantum of proof necessary to reach this question of whether or not it was a commercial vehicle. In other words, they had failed to prove it. A finding of fact cannot be disturbed on appeal, even if we would have done it differently. And here you don't even have the record. You have no idea what was submitted to the arbitrator because that record was not provided to the district court, was not provided to this court. But
well, if I can interrupt you, in interpreting statutes, we're supposed to make sense of the section. So if we're trying to interpret rather than saying the legislature was insane and there is no such thing as a nominal rated carrying capacity, and so there's absolutely no way it can be determined, and so therefore we just go to gross vehicle weight, but that's not what we're supposed to do as a court. So if we're making sense of that part of the statute, nominal rated carrying capacity, or can, if you don't have it, then can it be determined? What do you say to Ms. Hurley's argument that really a gross vehicle weight is a nominal gross vehicle weight? I mean, that's not the exact for each precise vehicle. It's not the actual. So why couldn't we just take the nominal gross vehicle weight and subtract it from the curb weight and then get carrying capacity? I mean, why do you say that's not right?
Okay, I have a multi-part and lengthy answer to that question. All right, so part one, the statement by Ms. Hurley that the three-quarter ton, half-ton, one-ton ratings have nothing to do with carrying capacity is incorrect. They are not accurate to current trucks' current carrying capacity. They are, those colloquial terms are the nominal rated carrying capacities. Historically, pickup trucks were classified in these terms because that was their carrying capacity. Since World War II—
Wait, okay, slow down. Sorry. You have somebody who knows very little about anything that you can drive on a road. So what did you say the carrying capacity, if you could just repeat that, and I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
For, yeah.
The nominal rated carrying capacity of a truck is the colloquial understood truck that Judge Larkin has in her driveway that she understands to be a three-quarter ton truck. Its actual carrying capacity at this time far exceeds three-quarter tons. But when the term three-quarter ton became the nominal carrying capacity, it didn't exceed three-quarter tons. Now, changes in manufacturing since World War II, pickup trucks get bigger and bigger and bigger. What is referred to by the nominal rated carrying capacity is not the same as the gross vehicle weight or the manufacturer's computed carrying capacity. And what I think we have here is a confusion based on the legislature's attempt to not be confusing. If you read that first part of the statute, it says manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity of 3/4 ton. It doesn't say 1,500 pounds. It says 3/4 ton, the colloquial understanding of how pickup trucks are rated. And then it says, and commonly known as a pickup truck, commonly known, commonly understood. Nominal generally means commonly known and commonly understood. And I would assert that we actually can determine the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity. We don't have a document that we submit. That would be the submitted. But the way that we determine it,
I'm not sure I'm persuaded by the treatment of those adverbs as synonymous, the commonly known and nominally regarded as. I mean, I can see commonly known and common vernacular, okay, that looks like a pickup truck. It has the shape of a pickup truck. I can see that as being very much more colloquial than the reference to a nominal weight, which it seems to me that specification can fit that category. I'm just not convinced that somehow the legislature was intending to have these two adverbs essentially mean common knowledge, as you're suggesting, the colloquial three-ton truck and the colloquial pickup truck.
And Your Honor, they're not synonymous, commonly known and nominal rated, but nominal rated is limiting language that comes before carrying capacity. If it was simply the calculation of carrying capacity, the statute would say carrying capacity. And the legislature, if you look at other sections, definitions in 168, you'll find at subdivision 21A, a non-commercial vehicle, and at subdivision 21B, the definition of a one-ton pickup truck requires that its gross vehicle weighting be in excess of 10,001 pounds. So Ms. Hurley's statement that this truck could be defined as in excess of a one-ton pickup truck is inaccurate. The legislature is talking about mid-size and smaller pickup trucks being commercial vehicles. And then it has all sorts of other definitions. So showing that what it wanted was the mathematical capacity to carry a load, it could have put that in there. In fact, it did in the second sentence. That's a limiting and a bright line rule. So you have—
But another rule of construction is that we're not supposed to just ignore parts of a statute. We're supposed to try to make sense of all of them. And so you know, your argument, if only the first sentence was there, but we've got this second sentence that says, or can be determined. If they really meant colloquial three-quarter ton, then it's like, yeah, that's commonly known in the industry as a three-quarter ton. I don't have to determine it. I mean, that would be nonsensical then. So what do we do with that second sentence?
Well, and Your Honor, I'm going to respectfully disagree that that's nonsensical. For example, when I put in the evidence in arbitration forums, I put in evidence that an F-250 is a three-quarter ton truck. What I didn't have was a document from the manufacturer saying the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity is a three-quarter ton truck. What I had was all the other evidence of what this pickup truck is. And so the two parts are, one, a document from the manufacturer saying this is nominal rated carrying capacity. That would be known. Then there's determined. We have, I can't just walk in and say, hey, this is a three-quarter ton truck. I have to put evidence in, which we did here. And if you look in the record, you'll see a number of ads and articles and general information. And we have the same thing with, for example, 2x4 lumber. The first time I built a table, it did not turn out because 2x4s are not 2x4. They are an industry standard. This isn't the only industry that has nominal ratings that are not the actual. And I know people are objecting to actual, but if you look at 168.002 subdivision 13 defining gross vehicle weight, it uses the word actual. So I'm using the word actual, the weight the manufacturer has given us, rather than the nominal, something other than the weight that we were given. And if all we do is math, then that second sentence is nonsensical. How could we not compute the carrying capacity in every single case? We always have these two numbers. So either we have to understand the first half of this statute as referring to the nominal rated carrying capacity, something other than the mathematical formula.
And okay, you're ignoring though. So it's talking about gross weight and the definition of gross weight. So I put that truck on a scale and I weigh it. That would be the gross weight. The statute though, in subdivision 26 says specified by the manufacturer as the gross vehicle weight as indicated on the manufacturer's certification label. So that's different than an actual weight, correct?
Well, I mean, I think it is the actual weight when they produce it. That's why they certify it. But the point
is, the language is different. I mean, it's manufacturer certified weight, which sounds to me kind of like the rated weight, if you will, as opposed to an actual weight. I mean, well, so I'm not sure your reference, at any rate,
Before you continue on, just sort of following up on that, it sounds like what you're asserting essentially is that there are three, there's the specified weight, there's the nominal or so-called weight, and the actual weight. Is that correct that you'd make those three distinctions?
I would go with actual as the same as specified, but a person could then take it and modify it in some way. They could add a snorkel or take a snorkel off or do something like that. And that would change that actual weight very slightly. But in terms of we're talking about a new vehicle and what the manufacturer's weight is, I use the terms actual and specified interchangeably.
Apparently this filter shows how you face would look if it was perfect.
Sorry, that wasn't me. Can I wait till that stops?
Yeah, what is the source of that interference?
It looked like it was COA staff, that there's somebody on as a COA staff who's not muted. Please mute.
All right. Maggie, are you still there? Okay.
I'm still hearing a faint.
I'm still hearing it as well. What is the source of that? Who's the Court of Appeals staff that is not muted? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay, counsel, you may continue. Our apologies.
Sorry. Defining the pickup truck, sorry, back to where we're at. Manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity. That concept, simply applying the mathematical formula, implies that the legislature meant to write the carrying capacity as computed by subtracting the gross vehicle weight from its, the other part to get the payload. Why didn't they write that? None of these terms are new, and they use gross vehicle weight in other places. They use it in the second sentence. We're assuming they wrote something entirely nonsensical when the logical and reasonable interpretation is that the nominal rated carrying capacity is exactly what the purchasers of pickup trucks understand to be the nominal rated carrying capacity. The truck they walk in and buy when they ask for a 3/4 ton truck. The trucks you find listed as 3/4 ton trucks when you go to buy a truck. All of the trucks that historically had a manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity of 3/4 ton, but the payload has increased due to increased construction efforts. There is no way to say that you simply do the mathematical formula and make it match with the legislature's actual language. They could write that. It's not hard or complicated. In fact, it would be very easy. And they chose not to do that. And they chose not to do that in a variety of locations in 168.002 when addressing pickup trucks. And the only logical way to do that is to look at the first sentence and figure out what that is, the nominal rated carrying capacity. It's what everyone knows. And if someone, like Your Honor, Judge Siegel, is maybe not familiar with pickup trucks and you don't feel the evidence you were given lets you know if that's the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity, no worries. There's a second bright line rule and it's gonna be in the same evidence and you move right to that. I can't determine this from the evidence I've been provided. I move to part two. There's a mathematical statement there. The evidence is there. We make the decision. And so—
Can I just ask a question? Ms. Hurley, when she was arguing, talked about if we agree with Progressive's position in this case, then game over, because it doesn't meet the definition of pickup truck, and therefore Progressive's entitled to indemnity. Do you agree with that position that if we were to say, yeah, the nominal carrying capacity, we're convinced that that's, you know, the payload and that's over 3/4 ton, that then this truck is clearly not a passenger vehicle, or yeah. Do you think it could be?
No, I think she's right. I think that's how the statutes are written and that's how they're read together. And that's how Ms. Hurley and I work in the same field. I do commercial trucking. She does a lot of indemnity. We see each other because we're both doing this. We have a lot of decisions that go both ways. I've won on this issue. She's won. So we both do really hope you issue guidance on this, because that is the issue. And if I can just very briefly, only because somebody talked over me, conclude, even though my time's up. Changing how pickup trucks are rated in terms of whether they are commercial or passenger vehicles within the state of Minnesota would dramatically revise the landscape for no fault. And I understand Ms. Hurley's point that pickup trucks are heavier than automobiles. So are SUVs, so are vans, motorcycles are lighter. You know, those are just facts of the road. Pickup trucks are nothing like a semi truck. I know which one I want to get hit by if I have to choose. And they are not insured the way commercial vehicles are, and they suddenly will be if all of the no fault burden is shifting from pickup trucks for their own occupants to anyone else they are in an accident with. And that is part of this analysis and discussion. It has to be, because pickup trucks did used to be, but are not now. And we have to infer and understand that was intentional, not accidental. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Hurley, we're prepared for your rebuttal argument. You'll need to unmute.
Sorry. I guess I'll start where council left off and in talking a little bit about the fact that it was until 2005 that any pickup truck would be not a passenger vehicle. Nothing has dramatically shifted as far as I'm aware in that time frame. I've not seen anything that suggested that anything has shifted at all when that change went into effect in 2005. And pickup trucks began, at least for purposes of the No Fault Act, were then included with some restrictions. And the restrictions have changed over the years as I've been doing this. At one point in time, it referenced 1 ton, a carrying capacity in excess of 1 ton. That got dropped down to 3/4 of a ton, obviously. There was a period in time in which it couldn't be used for, or it needed to be used for a commercial purpose in order to not be included as a passenger vehicle. So there's lots of different changes that were made to this provision, none of which I'm aware of have had any impact on anything else. I want to get back to your point, Judge Siegel, about these other, in that passenger vehicle definition, these other vehicles that are not considered a passenger vehicle if they meet that definition. The reason that we don't need to be concerned about those vehicles, those, I think they're the neighborhood electric vehicles, is because there are two requirements for the indemnification provision. Commercial vehicles, only one piece of that. The other piece is it has to weigh in excess of 5,500 pounds. And those types of vehicles just simply aren't going to weigh in excess of 55 pounds. Most, I haven't seen any sedans that meet that curb weight requirement. There are some larger SUVs that do, which is a whole nother, set of facts that I would love to discuss with you guys someday about how we treat SUVs, because they are larger. They are built on chassis that are pickup truck chassis. So they have a lot of the same qualities, they just happen to be enclosed. So there's a whole nother set of things that, we could be looking at with that. But I think that to your point, Judge Siegel, is that's the distinguishing factor, is that you still have to meet that other requirement. So we don't need to be concerned about those, being pulled in.
I'd like to press you just on some language. So subdivision 30, the manufacturer's nominal rated carrying capacity. It seems to me that if the legislature would know how to say manufacturer's specified carrying capacity as opposed to nominal rated, explain or convince me that I'm wrong about the distinction between those terms based upon common usage.
Your Honor, I think it goes actually to opposing counsel's point of that specified and actual, in my mind, are really the same thing. And so specified for me means for this particular vehicle, the actual for this particular vehicle. And what we get in these specifications that are put out by the manufacturer is you're going to get a specification on curb weight and a gross vehicle weight rating based on the body, the style,
I'm just pointing to just general language and usage that, it seems to me that if the legislature would know how to say manufacturer's specified carrying capacity, as opposed to nominal rated carrying capacity. It seems as if nominal rated and is a different term just in the language. And explain why that's not necessarily so here.
I do think that's so, Your Honor. I do think nominal rated means general. I do think that it does mean that general for this body, general for this style, general for this model, that is a more general terminology. If you're talking about specific or actual, it would have to be for that particular vehicle. And I'm not aware of any that come out with that specific information on it.
I mean, when you have a manufacturer specified, it's sort of an estimate. It's not the actual. And I thought that was your point earlier. And I'm agreeing with you that there's a difference between when a manufacturer says, these are the specifications, and the manufacturer says, we've put this vehicle through a scientific test, and we've dropped bales of hay on it weighing X. And so this is the actual carrying. It seems to me nominal rated is different from manufactured specified carrying capacity. And again, I'm talking about the nomenclature here. So
sure. Well, and I think that the same terminology could be applied to the gross vehicle weight rating. It's giving you the gross vehicle weight, right? Rating is what it's called. It's actually referred to as the gross vehicle weight rating, because that is what it's rated at. It's not, nobody's ever put a whole bunch of weight on it and weighed it out and said this is what it is.
Except for the term nominal, which often refers to the, you know, sort of so-called, generally regarded as, but without any attempt to be specific. When we talk about nominal damages, it's like we recognize there's no clear relationship between the actual and the nominal.
And I guess, Your Honor, I would point to it being information that's being provided on a more general basis rather than a specific basis. I know that they're called specifications, and I understand now your connection between those two words, specific and specifications. What I would put forward is that the nominal rated is this general information that's being put out by the manufacturers. And that's the information that we're trying to use to determine what the carrying capacity is. And that's where we refer back to.
Well, thank you to the attorneys for addressing this interesting issue for the second time in a week. We'll give it close consideration. The case is submitted. You'll have a decision within 90 days. That concludes the hearing.
Thank you.